You know, as we look in the story of Christ's birth, and it's so important, as we look here in Luke's chapter 2, and remember that in the previous chapter, you had the situation there with Zacharias, and, you know, you had Elizabeth there, and they were in the temple. And it all started with the birth of John the Baptist of all people. And you had, Zacharias, he was taking care of the incense in the temple. And the angel of the Lord stood right there on the right-hand side of inside the temple. And Zacharias was there working on the incense. And he says, hey, you're going to have a... Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a baby. And he's just like, oh, no, that's impossible. We're too old for that. I don't think so. And the angel said, yes, you are. And God tells us today, yes, Christ did come into this world. Well, apparently, as you know, the story with Elizabeth, she ended up having John. Remember, Zacharias couldn't speak for a while. And it wasn't until, you know, much later the people found out that Elizabeth was even pregnant. And of course, then we see with Mary, the cousin of this lady Elizabeth, she had a vision from the Lord, told her that you're going to have a baby. And of course, Joseph found out about this too. Joseph found out, and he was just like, oh my goodness, she's pregnant now, he found out. And of course, as we know that, you know, supernaturally, the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary. And so you had a situation where Joseph didn't know whether or not to put away Mary because he didn't really understand. Of course, when he had the vision, he understood. And so because of all the gossip and things that went on in communities, they tried to hide it. They tried to hide it. Well, anyway, John the Baptist was born in that story, true story. And of course, he was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to get into John's gospel. It's how interesting how the Holy Spirit brings everything together. And then, we're looking at, Mary, Elizabeth's cousin. She's excited. She, you know, those songs that are written there about what happened, and remember the joy that is written in there about what happened with these mothers to be. And so it's quite interesting. When you have time, look through that in Luke's gospel there in chapter 1. It's a long chapter, but it's a beautiful story. And then of course we get into the birth of Jesus. Now we have to understand here in verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So there was two reasons why they had to tax people. Number one, it was because if you're a Roman citizen, they had to do a census on whether you would be able to join into their military. That was one. And of course, two, there was the taxes, the money that the government would get as well. But the good news for Joseph is that he was Jewish, so he could not go into the military. He was happy about that. I'm sure we all remember when we had to, you know, call us into the military. They did away with that a while ago. It was more of a voluntary basis now if you want to go into the military. So then you have here that verse 2, and the taxing was first made by Cyrenius, was governor of Syria. So it's interesting how God is in control of everything. You know, when the tax came out every 14 years. And so this is the first time they were actually doing this. And so the author, Luke, is saying, hey, look, God's in control of everything. Things just didn't happen just to happen. Our life today, things just don't happen for a reason. There is a plan, and God is the planner, and everything comes to fruition. And we see in verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. So wherever you were born, you had to go to that place. If, say, if you were born in Oconomowoc, you would have to go back to Oconomowoc to register. And, you know, they had everything decently and done in order. So this is all leading up to Mary's done pregnant. Okay, John the Baptist is already born. Okay, but Luke is focusing now here on Mary. And so it's interesting, verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, which is north of Jerusalem. Remember, Bethlehem is just south of Jerusalem, maybe 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. And in Galilee, went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. We'll stop there. So he had to travel with Mary about 70 miles through the hilly country and all. Imagine a woman. I have one person just shaking their head like, you know, but God's grace, God has a plan. God will get us through the valleys. He will get us through the hard times. You know, there are some women I've met who've been pregnant that can pick up chairs and walk around like there's nothing to it. Other women will just sit there and it's just like, oh, I can't do this, you know. And I looked at a guy one time and I said, hey, can you imagine what it would be like having carry an extra person around with you? Just think about what poor women have to go through. Well, Mary and God had a plan. God is just like, hey, you're going to have this baby. And so she went through these hills in this region, a matter of days, 70 miles. They say on foot, you could probably travel about 20 miles if you kept on going from sunup to sundown. But I can imagine this took over a week, maybe 2 weeks to get there. So there they were, called of God, and God will always equip us. He will always get us there. Regardless of how out of time things don't look right. No, this can't be so. But remember, God's in the business of organizing things. And when things are in chaos, remember, He's got things organized in our lives today with this crazy things that are going on, spending $1.7 trillion of our money. Our dollar is shrinking right now. But, you know, God's in control of that, too. He'll take care of that, too. And so we have down here in verse 5. And so before we touch on that, remember, through the genealogy, Christ would be born at the right time. And through David and Mary, it would happen. And it was so. We could look at Matthew's genealogy. It's right there as well. So it says here in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, and being great with child. Now, there was a problem here because for the Jewish mindset, if your wife had gotten impregnated before you were married, there would be an issue here. And that would be in lines for divorce, okay, if that was so. And remember, when it came to Jewish marriage, they took it very seriously. Unless your spouse had died, okay, you could not remarry. But in this situation, there was grounds for divorce because of Mary not being faithful. So remember, God hates divorce. But there were situations where that was allowed, okay, in the extremities. So you had, at this time, there had to be a betrothal period. There had to be a time when there was sometimes up to a month or a year, okay? It would be like an engagement. And so people would know Joseph and Mary, which they were only teenagers. And so they were probably 12, 13, 14, 15 years of age. Some others say that he's older, but I think they were younger because they married when they were younger. And what happened was is that you had this time of betrothal, and you know, there was probably people talking about it because she was pregnant. Sometimes women can hide their pregnancy, other times they can't. I've been told. And so they were leaving, and they got there at Bethlehem, and she was great with child. She was great with child. Now remember, Matthew has an account of this time too, with the birth of Jesus. And so we'll get to that in a minute. And then verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, and because there was no room for them in the inn. Of course, at taxation time, they could not go anywhere, so they had to go to basically where the animals were kept. And you know, we have a beautiful illustration here of what was put up of a stable. And of course, I'm not knocking the stable at all. Of course, the early church fathers said he was born in a cave. Why in a cave? Because what they would do is they would put their animals in caves. And the reason is because in limestone caves, remember the temple was made out of a lot of limestone. The limestone would keep year round, would keep the same temperature. That way the animals would stay warm enough. The stable wasn't put in like it has here, and there's nothing wrong with this, please. Not until like the second or third century AD. Even the early first church fathers said it was a limestone cave. And really, who cares? You know, really, nobody cares about that. But the point is that Jesus was born, and the babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes, layered clothes because it was cold, put into an animal trough. Okay, a humble way, the God of the universe put into an animal trough where he was. It's just amazing because it's completely everything different than probably what the Sanhedrin were thinking. They were thinking of a different Messiah. Remember, they can't even agree on Isaiah 53. They don't believe even today that Christ has come. They're still waiting. So remember, the God of the world has darkened people's eyes. A lot of people today celebrate Christmas, but they miss, as you know, the old cliche, the reason for the season. They forget. They get lost in the presence and everything else. We forget that Jesus was the greatest gift for us. So there was Christ. And says here that verse 8, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You have to remember something about shepherds. This is very important because they were there year round, and there were shepherds around Bethlehem closer to Jerusalem because remember of the temple sacrifices, so they needed sheep. And so that was big business. And so some people say, well, Christ was born like in November, December, March. Hey, if you talk to a shepherd, I remember one of my professors from seminary went out there for a couple of weeks and spent 2 weeks with shepherds. He said, hey, it's year round. It's not certain times of the year that shepherds are out. It's year round. I'd rather go with the evidence and with that verdict than go with a textbook any day. Talk to the real people. So there were the shepherds. And remember, the shepherds were not looked upon very well with the Sanhedrin. Because remember, the shepherds had to work year-round, right? And the Sanhedrin were like, hey, we can't have this. Remember, the Sabbath, you need to take the day off, keep it holy. Shepherds were one of the lowest looked upon workers in the Jewish society because they had to work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, in different shifts. Remember, Jesus is called our great shepherd. And also that he is looked at as the shepherd of Israel. So shepherds were there. They weren't looked upon very well. And so verse 8 says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, And the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And they were so afraid. Hey, can you imagine being out in the field, watching your animals, and then all of a sudden the Shekinah glory appears and these multitude of angels. That means you could not count them. There were so many. And they were praising and worshiping God. The Shekinah glory was found in the Bible with the Garden of Eden, time of Moses, the transfiguration, the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. And so it was a very bright essence of God. And they were very troubled. And the angel said before them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news, a great joy, which shall be of all the people." This is the greatest news ever. You know, like I said, some people think that the Lord's resurrection is more important than Christmas time. I think they're both just as important. You can't have one without the other. Some people disagree with me with that, but I'm like, hey, a Savior is born. Christ couldn't have gone to the cross and died for our sins and shed his blood if it wasn't for his birth. It was very important. So, verse 11, "For unto you that is born this day, the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So he is known as the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One, the ones that they looked up to. And we see throughout the Bible, there are many mentions of Christ being prophetically brought into. And just one here is found in Micah 5:2. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting to everlasting." So out of Bethlehem, they knew that Christ is coming. Why didn't people see this coming? Well, remember back in Matthew's account, you had the wise men. And why did they say there were three wise men? Because there were three gifts that were laid. We don't know how many magi that came out. But remember, they were astrologers. They looked at the stars. And that star that came about and showed the shepherds, we're going to see here in a minute, I believe that was a supernatural star that actually moved to where Christ was actually born. I don't think it was the North Star or whatever they call out there, astrologers do. But you have these magi, they heard about it. King Herod heard about it. He was upset because there was all this talk now that word got around that this Christ was being born, and Herod did not want anybody to mess with his throne. So he says to the wise men, "Why don't you go find out where this Jesus is? And when you get there, come on back and tell me." Well, remember, the wise men, they went on out. They saw Christ. They worshiped him. And actually, most of the expositors believe it was a few years later after Christ's birth that they went out. And so they went out, saw what was going on, and lo and behold, they had a dream. An angel told them, "Do not go back to King Herod because he's no good." And they went another way. And then Herod found out. He felt like, "Oh, I'm being mocked by these wise men. Fine, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to kill every 2-year-old from there down." And it just goes to show you today, people are full of fear. There is so much fear out here, you know. And I'm seeing it more and more. And Christ, and people need to experience the love of Christ. And it's more than just a babe in a manger. He's our Savior. He came and he's God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And we can look at Isaiah 14, Matthew 1:23, and compare the two prophecies being fulfilled. And there's many more scriptures throughout the Bible to allude to this. So you had the shepherds. They found out. Verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." Verse 13, "And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill toward men." It was the good news that they heard. And you know what? These shepherds, they were the first evangelists about Christ. They heard it and they told people. They were so excited. This is great. You know, I look out today, and I've been seeing this for many years, and you all have too, that this spirit of Christmas is not like it used to be. You know, it's kind of grown kind of cold and dead because people don't have that fire, and they're not telling people about the real reason for the season. There's nothing wrong with gifts. There's nothing wrong with Christmas trees and stables and family time. It's great. It's wonderful. But people forget, and our enemy wants people to forget. And time is running out because our Savior's coming back. He's coming back at the time of the rapture, maybe in our lifetime. So, good news is out. Verse 15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." So they couldn't wait. They were like, "Let's go." I tell you what, if we were here today, we found, let's just pretend we were the shepherds, I'm sure we couldn't wait. I'm sure they were saying, "Hey, you know what, you got to take care of the sheep here. You got to take care of them, but I'm going to go see this Jesus." Okay, good enough. You let me know how it turns out. You know, tell me how Joseph and Mary are doing. You know, in a very humble circumstances with the animals. Can you imagine being around smelly animals and just everything else in the cold being out there? But yet God protected. God protects us today. He protects us through everything. Because all the things in the world that people that we have cannot protect us against sin, disease, death, everything, okay? Only God can protect us. God can give us an escape through prayer and caring and loving one another and being there for one another. And it says here in verse 16, "And when they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger," just like what was said. "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child." So they, once they got there, like, "Oh boy, we're going to go tell people about Christ. This is the reason of the season," you know? They didn't have department stores. They didn't have all the glitter of Christmas and everything back at that time. They just went by faith. They were like, "I believe it, that says it, and that settles it with me." "And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told by them and the shepherds." So everybody started hearing about what was going on. Who is this? What? Christ in the flesh? The anointed one? The Messiah? The Savior? Oh, he actually came. Oh, we need Christ more than anything else today. We need him. We should be thinking about Christmas every day. Why? Because it's so important today. It's very important. It's not like once a year, it should be every day. Thinking about how he came in the world, how he died and he was buried and he rose again. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." It's interesting because Mary was thinking, "My goodness, I am blessed. I am highly favored," like it says in Luke, "that God chose me." Mary was a nobody. And it thinks about it. Each one of us is somebody today by the grace of God. God chose us through the portals of time. He knew who was going to get saved and who wasn't going to save. He knew. But also, we have choices to make. And there are people who make choices today who reject Jesus Christ. God never superimposes his will upon anybody. Love is like this here, gives it to you, but you know what? Never forces it on you. And Mary, I could just see her sitting there thinking, "Wow, I'm highly favored. Nowadays, we have statues of her. We have people praying to her, you know, and so on and so forth. Some people actually believe that Mary, and this is almost borderline blasphemous, is the mother of God, and Jesus is just the son. And for you to get to Mary, because remember, it's not Jesus, but it's also Jesus and Mary, okay, which they do teach in some churches, which is a damning doctrine, which is not the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus only. Mary was just highly favored. Joseph was just highly favored. You don't have to be a saint to figure that out. We're all saints of God here today, by God's grace. And I hope they never make any statues of us, okay? The only one that I'm thinking of is Jesus Christ. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, when we come to church, we come here praising and glorifying Jesus Christ. When we leave, we are praising and glorifying Jesus Christ. And we know that this baby that was born in the manger is now seated on the right hand of God the Father. He came and he died for us, and he was buried and he rose again. He came and he waxed strong in the Spirit of God, and he became, as he was, the Savior of many. Many rejected him, but yet we thank God that people have a chance to turn to him today. And so, as we look at this morning, the birth of Christ is so important, because without the birth of Christ, we wouldn't have what we have today. You know, the best present, the best gift that we could ever have. I think it's wonderful that we have gifts. Maybe some of you have opened your gifts already. Maybe some of you haven't. But you know, the best gift is Christ. You know, that we can share one with another. And you know, for me, I usually, my sermons go on a lot longer than this. You know, and I don't know why I'm stopping a little early. But I think I needed to say all I needed to say. And I believe that that's what God wanted me to lay it on my heart to say. But I hope that everybody here has a Merry Christmas. But also, if you go anywhere today or this week, remember, hey, got to tell them about Jesus. They know, but yet you have to remember and say, you know, what do you think about today? Hey, I'm so excited because my Savior was born today. I'm so excited because, you know what, I'm going to heaven. I'm so excited today because I've got something I never had before, and that's my Jesus. You know, there are people today that have different Jesuses. They live in a world, a deceptive world, where they think that, you know, if I go to church, that will get me to heaven. If I give lots of tithes, that will get me to heaven. If I've been an acolyte, that will get me to heaven. Or, you know, just saying a prayer will get me to heaven. But it's not just a prayer. It's actually seeing a change in your life. And you're going on by faith. You accepted Christ as your Savior. And you realize that you're a sinner, saved by grace through faith. But seeing that change in your life as life goes on, and as Christmases come and go, as we get older, that we have an evangelistic spirit experience in our life where we want to share Christ. And this morning, let's take that into our heart as we look into this new year. This new year is coming up. And so should it change anything that we're doing? Hopefully for the better. Hopefully we're all growing in the Lord. And I think we are. And we need to be trusting him and obeying him. And remember to be fervent in love for one another. That has the idea to be passionate, to care for one another, and to accept one another as Christ has accepted us. So pray today that people's eyes will be opened to the real reason for Christ's birth. that he came in the world to die for sinners such as you and I, and that without a Savior, we're lost. We need a Savior. And pray too. I'm going to close with this. That churches everywhere, pastors especially, would start preaching the gospel like they used to. You don't have that many anymore. You may have some big churches, and I'm not judging any of the guys behind the pulpit because I got to judge myself first and let God judge me. But I really believe there are some pastors out there that aren't preaching the gospel, and pray that they do. And so let us at this time, let's pray and go to the Lord for his throne. Father, we thank you for this time, for this remembrance of your birth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that there are many people that are celebrating Christmas. And Lord, we pray that people will not take Christ out of Christmas. We thank you, Lord, that we can proclaim and we can shout out and give praises and thanks for your birth. And we thank you that 33 years later that you went to the cross and died for people's sins, and you were buried and rose again. And Lord, we pray that people would take you seriously. There are many people today who don't, who look at it as a holiday. We ask you, Lord, that you work on their hearts. Help us to be evangelists, like the shepherds were, just so excited about your birth. Couldn't wait to tell people about it. They heard it and they shared it and glorified you. We thank you that you're in the salvation business. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one who saves people. Just pray that you wipe away the blinders on their eyes. Remove, Lord, the darkness in their heart, that they can see the light, the true light, Lord, of this reason. We thank you for this time that we have. We just pray, Lord, that you bless this time. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.